All right, so we are back for another podcast with the Steambox Crew. Steambox Crew, say what's up.
What's up?
I exist.
Today, we have my man Chris, who is the leader of, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Everything Epic. Is that?
You got it.
I got that right?
It's epic.
Everything Epic. Today, we're going to talk about his Big Trouble in Little China campaign. But I know that you guys are working on a lot more than that. Before we get into Big Trouble in Little China, what are some of the other projects that you want to shout out?
We got Rambo the board game.
Hey.
We got a game called Metal Dawn, which is like a cross between Terminator and G.I. Joe. We got another game called Coma Ward, which is like a horror game. We do a lot of cool stuff.
Are those all board games? Or are
those
like the
all tabletop. All tabletop board games, yep.
Oh, okay.
With potential for a new Rambo movie coming out, are you considering an expansion pack for your board game?
So right now for Rambo, we have the license for Rambo 1, 2, and 3. So First Blood, and then basically the first trilogy. And then basically after we're done with that, with the potential for the new movie, you never know, we might be looking into some of the new stuff. They're on the way.
So what does it take to get a license for a property like Rambo?
It takes determination, a lot of hard work, and of course, money.
So, okay, so give me an example, because my man here, Jordan, Jordan's over here. Jordan is interested in making video games. So is Malate here. And they've been working on some video game projects with us. So what if they wanted to do a Rambo video game? Who do they have to contact, and how much money should they be ready to shell out?
You know, video games are a little bit of a different territory, you know, often because video games can go to a very, very wide audience.
Yep.
Of course, it depends on the game, if it's an app or if it's a full-on video game. Like back in the day, there was a Rambo PC game. It was an on-rail shooter. It wasn't a great game, but it was, of course, a Rambo game. It had some really cool graphics. Gameplay was kind of meh. In general, you want to look at, of course, looking at the studio. You want to talk to the studio. And some studios have agents that get them. So really, at the end of the day, if you want to go ahead and license something, you want to reach out to a lawyer, get a legal team together, and you have to basically pay for a lawyer. And then every single licensing deal is different. Not one is the same. Wow. There's going to be royalties involved. There's going to be guarantee costs. You're going to have to pay a big chunk of money up front. And then you're going to have to give them a cut. Whatever you're doing, and of course those numbers are different for every single deal.
I'm gonna introduce these guys to another one of your projects, and maybe you can explain it better than I can. But Steambox students, are you familiar with LARPing?
Yes.
What is LARPing?
Live action role play.
Live action role play.
Basically, you play as like certain knights or wizards or magicians, sorts of like. Things that you would find in role-playing games, essentially.
Or you could be a gigantic yellow Pikachu in the middle of the park.
So, Brendalee, this dude has a LARPing experience that happens once a year in Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
So, he has a Game of Thrones-like experience. I don't know if he has White Walkers and dragons and stuff. How does that work? How does this whole thing work? And this is probably, you just explained why it's probably not Game of Thrones licensed. But tell me more about that event.
So Dragon Thrones is actually from my other company called The Game Theater.
Dragon Thrones?
And The Game Theater, Dragon Thrones, is the name of the event that you're talking about.
Yep.
It's an immersive, interactive, full live weekend LARP experience. We say all that stuff because it also has a mega game in it, which is like a gigantic board game. And you become a character for a full-on weekend. It's like an all-expense-paid type of trip. All inclusive, so you get your food, your room, your board. You stay in a castle for an entire weekend, and you become a character. And I mean, it's pretty epic. I mean, we do all kinds of amazing stuff with it. It's fully strategic. Again, not all LARPs are fantasy, meaning the fantasy genre like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. Some might be post-apocalyptic, like Walking Dead. There's a lot of LARPs like that. Some might be like Harry Potter, which is like modern wizardry and fantasy. So, you know, they really can vary. It's all about the imagination of the creators and who wants to be a part of it. But really, at the end of the day, LARPs are about creating an amazing story and a narrative together. You're kind of creating a theatrical thing together as an experience.
Is that an 18-plus event?
So, Dragon Thrones itself is. But we do all kinds of different types of events, and we also create events for different people. Game Theater actually does, believe it or not, team-building events. We do corporate events. We do our own private events, all kinds of stuff. So it's very unique. You'd be surprised. All different types of people get involved and do these types of things because they're social interactive things. Video games are awesome. I love video games. Okay, I love them. I just beat Far Cry 5 the other day. People after a while need to be with other people, and socializing with board games and live action role playing games makes a huge, huge difference. And when you haven't done it in a while, when you get together with other people and you interact, kind of like what you guys are doing here, working together, coming up with ideas together, talking to other people face to face, even though it's, you know, through the magic of the internet. When you do that, you get a new and fresh experience. And that's why board games are coming back so big now. And that's why I think LARPs and live action experiences and stuff are so big now, because people miss people.
That sounds dope, man. Let me know when we can make a Steambox experience so that I can take my nerds out there and we can have some fun.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Nerds.
He said he wants it based on Street Fighter V. Wait, we are not nerds? Are you challenging me?
No, I said nerds.
So my man Judah barked out when you talked about Far Cry 5. He was talking about the ending. He's sour on the ending of Far Cry 5. What did you think?
I'm also pretty sour. I went immediately on YouTube and checked the other alternate endings, and they were actually worse than all that I got. So I'm actually looking forward more to the DLC, because believe it or not, one of the DLCs looks exactly like Rambo. And I was like, I got to have that. That's why I actually bought the game, because of the DLC. They have a Rambo, a Mars one, and something else. I think like some other look really cool. Different DLC.
These guys have a ton of Big Trouble in Little China questions for you. Most of us watch the movie together. But before we move on to that, I want to ask you, is there anything else that you're playing right now that's hot right now? He's showing, for the audience at home, he is showing his Big Trouble in Little China game. Is that a final print? Are these ready to ship?
Yes, yeah, so they're actually on the boat right now from Germany. Big Trouble in Little China, printed in Germany.
Printed.
How about that?
Germany. Not,
it's funny, right?
Not in San Francisco, Chinatown.
Right. You got it. Video game-wise, I actually jumped back into The Division for a little while. I just got Warhammer 40K Martyr, believe it or not. It looks like a Diablo-based Warhammer world game. It seems kind of cool. But honestly, there's not tons of great stuff. God of War is out. I haven't picked it up yet.
It was fantastic.
You know.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, I know.
I hate the Valkyries.
That's I brushed off all the dust on my stupid PlayStation so that I could play God of War.
Yeah, he has like three.
That's kind of like what I got right now. I got a Batman limited edition PlayStation just sitting there. Since Batman, basically.
This is neither here nor there, but I saw, it might be a fake image, Spider-Man themed PS4 Pro for when that game comes out in September.
Oh, no, that's going to look terrible then.
Well, I have to have it. I don't care. I'm a Spider-Man guy. If there's one thing I love more than Big Trouble in Little China, it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's a nerd.
That's why I had to have the Batman one. Same thing.
I hear you. So which one of you guys, and nice and loud, please, which one of you guys has a Big Trouble in Little China question? they're fighting over their questions.
I have a question.
Loud, Dariana. Go ahead, Louis. Go.
How do you feel about the remake of the movie that's happening?
Is it happening? Do you know something more than we know about the rumor of a remake of Big Trouble in Little China?
Aside from The Rock.
Just a rumor. It's a Rock rumor. To be honest, from what we heard about it originally, it looked like it might be happening more than it was. But I think it started off as a rumor, continued to be a rumor. But when The Rock said he was doing Jumanji, which was actually really good, and Rampage, which I also thought was fairly good, it pretty much delivers exactly what we've had, a bunch of monsters blowing up the city and destroying stuff. When I saw Jumanji, I said to myself, okay, maybe if The Rock did Big Trouble in Little China, he wouldn't try to remake it. He would be maybe like Jack Burton's son or something like that. And that would be cool. Don't try to remake Big Trouble Little China. You should not do it. It should never be done. It's not something that should be done. This film inspires so many other things, like Mortal Kombat, like all these big like kung fu things from today, video games. So many things are inspired by it. There's no reason or desire for it to be remade. Adding on to the universe, totally cool.
Yeah, they were going to ask you about that. They were going to ask you about the influence that you felt like it had on Mortal Kombat. Do you, like, what specifically in Mortal Kombat? I can think of a couple of obvious ones, but what would you say?
I'd say the two biggest ones have got to be, of course, Liu Kang to, like, Shang Tsung kind of thing. And then, of course, the one and only Raiden. It's like lightning. I mean, minimum, yeah. Right? You could probably pull out some of the other Kung Fu guys, but for the most part, those two guys are probably directly pulled and thrown in.
I feel like Johnny Cage is inspired by
Did you enjoy Mortal Kombat X?
You know, I haven't been playing Mortal Kombat for a long time. Fighting games, to me, the best one that's come out that I've enjoyed personally has been For Honor. Mortal Kombat, to me, was the best when it was literally just coming on the Genesis. So back in the day when we were playing Sega Genesis, and you were playing Mortal Kombat 1, Mortal Kombat 2, and you were going up this tree, basically, of trying to get to the final boss, that's when it felt the best. Since then, it's almost like they're not finding a new friend to do it.
You
they took Mortal Kombat and said, make your own character and make it into an RPG, and you have to go through the Mortal Kombat Island and fight all these guys and beat them and go all the way up character. That would be awesome. I would be all over that game.
They tried to do that with mythologies and ultimately failed.
Somebody, when you were talking about the influences, somebody pointed out Wang to what's his name and what was his name?
Liu Kang. Cage.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny Cage.
To Wang?
No. Like the main character.
Jack Burton to Johnny Cage.
That makes sense.
I don't know.
Maybe. I would accept that.
Maybe. Chris, are you still with us?
Johnny Cage is like a Hollywood star.
Yeah.
And. You know, Jack Burton is a truck driver. You know, the like motivations of the characters are very different. You know, Johnny Cage is like, I got a big ego and I'm kind of a jerk. I guess the only thing that I would say is matching is like the ego, right? But one is super rich and one needs money.
Yeah.
And he wants his truck back.
Yeah. Nothing to double.
But they both have nothing to double.
Dariana.
Yes,
sir.
I wanted to ask, like, what are some what do you think Big Trouble in Little China was so special, and how what do you think affected so many things, like Mortal Kombat and all those kind of things?
So on the box we put right here, this text here, I'll read it to you. It says the cooperative comedy kung fu ghost story monster miniatures board game for 1 to 4 players. It says that because this movie is super unique in how it actually dives into so many different themes, puts them together in a very fresh way, and treats race in a very unique and interesting way. It actually takes Asian culture and doesn't necessarily put it in roles that you would normally expect. It puts them in very leading and interesting roles and doesn't criticize them in that way. It shows you a chunk of history in a fun, very action-intense, unique, magical fantasy world without holding back. John Carpenter, the director, doesn't say, I think I'll be careful with this because I think it's going to be, you know, too risque, or maybe, you know, audiences won't like this. He just goes for it. And that's what makes Big Trouble in Little China very special. The characters are very memorable. The thematic world that they're all in is fun and unique and interesting. You kind of want to be there and be a part of it and listen to the story. And that's why the game was so fun to make, because it's full of story.
Man, I'm so happy that you mentioned the diversity and the mixing of cultures and celebrating all of these different cultures instead of putting them in the backdrop, or, you know what I mean, or just like the pastel colors in the background. I found it really interesting, and I couldn't think of another movie at the time where there was an American lead who kind of wasn't the hero, who kind of... He was kind of the bumbling sidekick. He was billed as the hero, but he was. Isn't Wang really the one who got things done?
That's what John Carpenter will always tell you. He'll say that Jack Burton was really a sidekick, kind of side character. But Kurt Russell, of course, he was a movie star at the time, and he was working with John Carpenter. He was the face man of the film, and he's kind of billed almost like a hero. But if you analyze the film and look at the story, it's really Wang's quest to get his green-eyed girl, his fiance, back from an evil sorcerer ghost named Lopan. This is his quest. It's Wang's quest. Mac just wants his truck back, and he wants to get his money that Wang owes him because of a bet. So he's just really kind of a side character. It's pretty funny in that way.
Yeah, I think so too. I found that all super interesting. And it was definitely, you know, like they had the romance and stuff, and Jack had his romance, but there was also an anti-romance thing happening with Jack too. Does any of that take place in your game? Does your game take into account any of the romance?
You know, we have a lot of great references to the movie. You know, I'm not going to do any spoilers here, but I'll say that, you know, there's certainly romance in wanting to go and save someone you care about from someone else. Miao Yin is not a playable character in the game because currently, at least not now, maybe in an expansion, but currently because she is kind of a central focus and a motivation for main characters. And that whole piece is kind of like a part of that. In the game, we don't specifically put romance together. We treat female characters with a lot of interesting respect where we give them awesome quests that highlight their strengths. You know, Gracie Law is a lawyer, and she's really a smart person. We give her, like, for instance, a really cool special ability card called Gracie's Law, which is a baseball bat. And it's like, she's tough. Like, she's not afraid to go up against these things. You know, Margot Litzenberger is another, like, female character from the movie. You don't really know much about her, right? She's just a reporter. But we go ahead and take it to the next level, and we create a whole very interesting story around her and give her kind of a bunch of cool new motivations and cool things to do. So, you know, luckily, because of this game creation, we're able to add on to the universe, which is something we really worked in.
Can you, do you guys take into account, does Gracie Law lose any points because there's a problem with her face?
What do you mean by that?
She couldn't infiltrate Lopan's lair because, and Jack Burton interrupts and says, "I know, there's a problem with your face." I was just wondering if she gets minus points for there being a problem with her face.
No, she starts off in low pan mode on her miniature and on her card. So she has, if you look at the art here, she's kind of in low pan's layer mode with her spear there. So, you know, she's not really, we're not focusing on her face necessarily. We're focusing on her badassity.
She's already in. Brenda Lee has a question.
What was your favorite part, like, line of the movie?
Come on. It's all in the reflexes.
It's all in the reflexes. He catches the bottle and says it's all in the reflexes. He had another, I think he did that again at some other point.
He does it at the end when he tosses the dagger right into Lopan's head.
Yeah, that was badass. Did he still have the lipstick smeared on him, I think, at that point?
Oh, yeah.
That was so cool. There was so many. Give me some more lines. What else?
Man, there's so many good lines. May the wings of liberty never lose a feather. Yeah. You know? Yeah. What's in there, Egg? That's sensational. What's in it? He's like, oh, the six demon bag, wind, fire, all that kind of thing. There's so many good lines.
Also, when
he's talking to Wang in the beginning, he's like, racial differences notwithstanding, hope we were friends here. We're going to have a problem. Out of your mind, Wang! You know, like, the movie is just full of great quality. Characters take themselves seriously, even though they're funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a very interesting comparison for you to think about. Compare Big Trouble in Little China to Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, okay? Look at the two films and analyze why they're funny and how the characters take themselves and their situations seriously with life and death, okay? These characters feel like their world can end, they could die, it's important to them to stay alive, they're trying to survive. Now go and compare it to maybe the new Ghostbusters or some other comedy or remakes of today. And look and see, why are some of these things not as funny or not as interesting? Because the characters don't necessarily take themselves seriously, or they don't believe in the threat. It makes a big difference. And these characters, even though things are funny, and they say a lot of goofy things and do a lot of crazy things, they take the threat seriously.
Yeah, I think about the Ghostbusters running out of the library, you know what I mean, at the beginning, because they're scared shit. They're not even investigating anymore. They're like, we'll get back to you as they run out.
The Ghostbusters reboot, though, was just cringy.
Yeah, I've got a lot of students who have a lot of thoughts on Ghostbusters reboot. I don't want to get into it because sexism always comes up.
For real.
Feminists!
I don't want to get into it, because then I start getting mad at my students, but, yeah.
But these comparisons are the good ones for an analytical conversation about film and the feeling you get from characters.
And I think what you just pointed out points out the difference, right? It pointed out the difference between the previous Ghostbusters and this Ghostbusters, and it's not to do with them being women. It's to do
with the dire situation.
Absolutely.
It has nothing to do with gender, sex, character, race. It has to do with writing, directing, and acting. When you combine those three things together, you can get a character that believes in the problem, and they become believable even if they're funny. And sometimes it's funny because they believe it.
Speaking of actors, did you get in touch with did you actually talk to any of these people for reference?
Well, John Carpenter is one individual who I was able to meet and talk to and show him the box and the game
talking about the guy who made Halloween, right? The Michael Myers guy and The Thing. And
Halloween, The Thing, They Live, Escape from New York.
They Live. We should watch that one day. I know it's before your time, but They Live is freaking amazing. Yeah.
And that has a ton of really, really good lessons to discuss politically about culture, about, you know, the entire world and the way we think.
Yeah, consumerism, capital. Yeah, it's all in there.
So, Obey.
So you got to see, what was Carpenter like?
He's a very interesting, legendary individual. You meet him, and he's kind of what you expect from the mind of this guy. You know, he's not necessarily a super animated guy. He looks like, you know, the master of horror. You know, he's a little, it's interesting to be talking to the guy. He's just very interesting. You can tell he's got that experience. He looks at things differently. And he plays music. I got to see him playing on stage in his band. That's his true love. He plays and composes his own music.
In the movies, too?
Most of the movies, the main songs are written by John Carpenter and played by him.
I noticed he snuck his name into one of the final scenes where Lightning is attacking Jack as they ascend up the hole. My favorite stuff, by the way.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. You put his little name in the back. I love all the Jack lines where Jack's asking questions. How'd you get up there? Right? Like, they're in such a...
Wasn't easy!
Right, exactly. They're in such a hard-ass situation. And when the monster comes out of the sewer and he's like, what was that? He stopped. The other guys are moving on, but you're right. The situation is dire, and Jack needs to know what the just came out of that wall. I love that.
Like, he called the insurance company. He's real serious with him. He's like, listen here. Let me talk to you. Hey, you know, my truck is not, you know. It's like he's really talking to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and he's really, like, just cares about his stuff. He's a real person who has feelings and actually cares about something.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not Gracie Law at the end of the movie. It's about the money in his saddlebags, like a cowboy who's just now riding out of town, you know?
Cowboy's an interesting thing that might come up again later in this thing. Judah.
Okay. So did you expect this Kickstarter to work, like, for your game?
Was not on Kickstarter. We did. This was one of the first things that we did just as a direct pre-order for the game, believe it or not. We worked really hard on it. That's no problem. We worked really, really hard on making the game look, feel, and kind of ooze the theme of the movie. And we knew that if we put our heart, soul, and passion of what we love about gaming and Big Trouble Little China, that other people would see that. And it's true. You know, the pre-order sold out. People around the world love it. The feedback that we're getting from where they've already shipped is great.
Yeah, I turned into a Futurama meme, shaking my cash at you, like, take my money, please, when I met you at Penny Arcade Expo. When can I expect it? I want to play it with these guys who are now starting to get invested in this film.
Movie's great.
It's on the Atlantic Ocean right now. I think it's passing the Bahamas or something to that effect.
Yep.
So it's on a little cruise, and after its vacation, it'll show up, it'll be in the fulfillment, and it'll be coming out. So we're a couple weeks out. We're going to get basically all that stuff together, get it ready for fulfillment, and then all the copies go out. This is the retail version. The one you're going to get is going to be a super shiny old version, which I have in the other room.
With the six demon bag.
But I'm not going to bring it on here because I don't want to ruin anything. You got to see it. When you open the box and you're partially blinded by its eminence and gold, you'll love it.
I can't wait. How hard is it to pick up? I mean, when you... this looks like an epic game, so it seems like it might be complicated. Am I going to lose my ADD students? What kind of feedback have you gotten from your playtests?
So the game, believe it or not, only takes about 2 hours to play once you know the rules. We made a full 9-episode, simple, easy-to-learn tutorial video system we put together. It's online now, so you can watch them in segments, because a half-hour, 45-minute video is tough to sit through. So we cut them apart in parts, you know, setup, how to play combat, how to do all the different parts, the quest and whatnot. And once you learn it and you play it, while you're playing the turns, you're reading story acting, you're planning, turns move fast. So it's very engaging. So once you get into the game, everybody's kind of involved almost all the time. That's one of the great things that keeps people engaged in games. A lot of board games in between times takes really long time. It's a lot of downtime, which is really bad. Or especially people who like might lose interest and they want to go on their phone and start checking out, you know, whatever, while they're trying to play. This game keeps you engaged because, as I said, there's a whole 90-page storybook in the core game, another 45 pages of Legacy of Lopan expansion. You're going to be reading these stories aloud. It's kind of like playing, in a way, a sandbox RPG video game, because you're going from location to location, you're triggering quests, you're exploring those, you're fighting guys on the street. You can pretty much do anything you want. Every time you play the game, you can kind of do whatever you want. And that's kind of what we wanted. You wanted you to live and breathe in Little China and do what you wanted to do and follow your own path through the movie. Then, all of a sudden, an hour, 20 minutes into the game, you flip the board, and now you're in Lopan's lair. Huge, fast-paced, final showdown, tons of fighting, crazy, then the game's over. You win or lose, and then you play again.
Were there any changes that came up during playtesting that somebody else gave you? Somebody else said, "Hey, wouldn't this be cool if this happened?" Can you give me an example of one of those?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the biggest things we really wanted for the game was to make sure that it was fast-paced, that it didn't take 4 hours to play the game, that kind of thing. You know, Twilight Imperium is one of the most famous games of all time by Fantasy Flight Games because it's the most epic, ridiculously large, crazy space combat game. But it takes 8 to 10 hours to play.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can make it through a game for 8 hours. I mean, unless you're sitting there playing a video game for 8 hours, it's a little different. But when you're playing with other people sitting at the table, not a lot of people can do it. One of our biggest things was, you know, there was a time when the game did actually take, you know, sometimes 3 hours or so. We had to find ways of tweaking specific mechanics to make sure that it would play fast.
All right, cool, man. I've got two more questions for you. One
sure.
is we've got your cosplayer from the event, and I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Kepra, yeah.
Kepra.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't want to ruin that, but she's coming on to talk to us next week about cosplay. I've got some students who are doing a lot of costume design for film work that they're doing. I'm looking forward to that. Do you have a suggestion?
She's awesome. She's a super expert. She's amazing.
She was a lot of fun. She played your game too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was she a good time to
she
play
played it, with? Learned it. She's a humongous Big Trouble Little China fan. You know, she has her own like female version of the Lopan costume, which is awesome and unique. And she makes all the stuff herself, which is really hard work.
Yeah.
People think, oh yeah, it's just for fun. Yeah, it's fun, but it's also very time consuming, very detail oriented. Especially when you convert a male costume into a female or vice versa, you're now trying to find specific details so that the costume translates. When people see her, they're like, you're Lopan. That's not easy to do.
Right. I've got students commiserating with you as you mentioned.
That's
that.
A word?
Yeah, it was commiserating is a word.
That's a word?
Yeah, I noticed. We noticed that not only was it gender bending, but it was also culture bending as well. And it seemed really cool. She was fearless about it, and that was pretty dope. Do you have a hint for something that we should ask her? What should we know about her before the interview's over?
I would potentially ask her about the different competitions that she's been in and some of the other really epic costumes that might be from and inspired by specific cartoons from the 80s, maybe even one that I mentioned.
All right. I'm assuming now that she has an Optimus Prime. Something in
there. That would be a tough one, but you never know.
All right, cool. So I want to ask you real quick before we go. for, I have no idea why. You've seen how shitty our operation is, right? Like, we had mic set up, and then we abandoned it and just used the iPad. And right now, I'm tethering, because normally we do live interviews. So, you're in Jersey, right?
Got it.
So, so I'm tethering, so at some points you sound all digital and like a robot. So, I have no idea why people listen to our shitty production. Last week we were number 7 in the world. We're normally around number 4. I have no idea why. I'll take it. But the fact remains, we've got a wide audience. What do you want them to know? Like, how do we find out more? Where should they go? What should they know?
Everything Epic is a company that creates games that gamers want to play. Our motto is of the gamer, by the gamer, for the gamer. Why? Because we're gamers. We love what we create. We put passion into it. We want games that will give you a feeling or make you think a specific way, that'll tell a story, that you'll take a story and tell someone else. That will bring people together away from a screen and with other people, you know, in real life, where you can play something and socialize and do something that's fun together. We don't have to play the game right necessarily. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to have a good time.
Where do we go if we want to get in on the ordering, the pre-ordering? Where do we go if we want to buy it, take a look at it?
Our website is everythingepic.us. And we also, of course, have bigtroublegame.com for Big Trouble Little China the Game, rambogame.com. It all goes back, of course, to our website, everythingepic.us. You can check out all of our cool games. You can check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Everything, you know, we have pages for all our games and, of course, for our main company, Everything Epic. So everythingepic.us, you can check us out, anything you need. You can always reach out to us. We're on Facebook all the time. We always message people. We're always there.
All right, so I have to throw this in and a quick shout-out for you. The LARPing stuff looked amazing, right? I don't know if you – are you comfortable with me calling it that LARPing stuff?
Listen, it is a LARP. It's a mega game. It's a social experience, the interactive, immersive event. You know, it's a full weekend. It's something that people call now blockbuster LARPs or that kind of a thing. And so that one that's coming up, it's actually coming up in July. It's called Dragon Thrones, and that's dragonthronesgame.com.
Dragonthronesgames.com to find out more. Students, do you guys have any more questions?
I do.
Go.
Actually, 3 questions.
First, I thought you were done, man. I'm sorry.
Since we were on the topic of video games, have you played Doom?
I love it.
Of course he's played
Doom.
Doom, yes.
Doom, D-O-O-M, yes.
What was your experience with the 2 original games of Doom?
They're just like the new game. Super ultra fast-paced, BFG, lots of killing, lots of dying. It's probably the most fast-paced person shooter of all time.
When I was finished playing that, like at night, after playing for hours, I remember closing my eyes and still seeing the imps, you know.
Still kind of moving, yeah.
Where are you going with this?
No, I remember we were talking about the video games, and I just had to throw it in there because I'm a big Doom fan.
So what's your third, so this is my guy, this is Jordan, and Jordan is working on a video game project, he's working on video projects, and he's designing cosplay. And I thought Jordan can learn from you when it came to design stuff. Did you have a design team working on the pieces?
So every single one of my games is potentially designed by somebody else. So I'm a huge fan of Big Trouble Little China, so I had to jump in and be one of the designers, one of the writers on it. I partnered up with a guy named Boris Polanski. He was, you know, awesome in regard to helping with the design. And, of course, he coordinated all the art direction. A lot goes into making a board game. You know, I use lots of different awesome designers from around the world, tons of different artists and freelancers. It's a huge, huge job. People think making a game is easy. Designing a game alone is very challenging. It takes a lot of work and a lot of playtesting and a lot of understanding of the games around you and knowing what you want from it and what you want it to be for other people. But being a game publisher is about 5,000 times as difficult, because you're doing everything else: manufacturing, business, accounting, art direction, creation. So at the end of the day, when you want to be making a game, when you want to actually become a game designer or creator, you have to decide, do you want to be a game designer? You want to be a game publisher? What do you want from it? You want to just make fun games. And that the same goes with video games. You want to be the guy who's programming and plugging in code. You want to be the guy who is creating the story. You want to be the person who is going ahead, doing all the business and the marketing and pushing it. What do you want to be when it comes to creating games? Because there's so many different jobs. Being a game publisher is the most difficult job because you have to do it all and make sure it all happens perfectly so that your game can get out there and be sold, that people can get it, and it could be awesome, and people love it, and you make more games.
Is this your favorite movie of all time?
Influence is definitely in my top five movies of all time. Terminator 2 is one of the ones that are up there in the top three. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade is also very, very high on the list. I love movies. I really, really love movies. So I can't give you an exact number one, but yeah. I've given you a couple of those.
What
you can tell.
When am I getting The Last Dragon board game? I mean, I need this in my life.
I'll tell you, the Bruce Lee estate actually does do licensing for specific games, believe it or not. So pretty interesting.
This is Bruce Leroy in The Last Dragon and Shogun the Shonuf of Harlem. my last question for you is, do you have any shout-outs? Like, who do you want to say what's up to? Anybody else that we should know before we let you go?
Just want all the gamers out there to know that gaming is cool. It is in the renaissance of the world, and being a gamer, being with other people is a great thing. So don't stop gaming. Don't stop playing tabletop games and socializing with your people.
Thank you so much. You are the man. We really appreciate this. I will send you a link to all this stuff, and I will make sure please, if you get a chance, send me an email of all the links that you want me to include so that as people click on this stuff, they could find you. Steambox crew, we are out of here for today. We are back next week with Kefra. Mm-hmm. So Steambox crew, please say peace out.
Peace out.
I still exist.